One question some experts want gardeners to consider more often when choosing what to include in their gardens and yards is, how will this plant impact the wider environment? The Allegheny Front's Julie Grant spoke with gardeners, botanists, and native plant enthusiasts about why these decisions matter.
Roxanne Swan is an environmental botanist, and she's watering plants on a steamy summer day at Beechwood Farms Nature Reserve outside Pittsburgh. She runs the nursery here with more than 100 species of native plants.
Oh my gosh, I think just about every day I have a new favorite.
Today she's liking a cluster of pointy purple blazing star flowers and the fragrant spice bush. That one largely because of the caterpillar of the swallowtail butterfly that hides in its leaves.
They look like a cartoon. They're so cute. They mimic a snake in order to sort of frighten their predators.
Some of the spice bush leaves are curled in half, and she peeks inside where they usually shelter.
Now, there's nothing in this one.
Then she notices two swallowtail chrysalis attached on a nearby door.
And there's one there and one right behind you. So they're on their way to becoming butterflies.
This 134-acre nature reserve is headquarters of the Audubon Society of Western Pennsylvania, which is usually associated with protecting birds.
Native plants support native species, and birds need insects.
Sarah Koenig is conservation director. She cites a Cornell University study last year that found North America has lost nearly 3 billion birds in the past 50 years. That's almost 30%. Koenig says increasing the population of native plants in the region can help.
Really, native plants are the foundation of our ecosystem. It's supporting insects, which are critical bird food. It also provides, you know, nuts, berries, cover for birds.
Koenig gives the example of an oak tree compared with a ginkgo.
Which is a beautiful tree, but it's not native to the U.S. And so that supports about 3 species of caterpillars, but the native oaks support over 500 species of caterpillars.
According to another Cornell study, a single pair of chickadees needs to catch 6,000 to 9,000 caterpillars to rear one clutch of babies. But what if you want to plant something that's not native to our region, like some pretty peonies? As poet Mary Oliver describes them, with their honeyed heaviness, their lush trembling, their eagerness.
And I think that's fine.
Ryan Gott is the Associate Director of Pest Management and Entomology at Phipps Conservatory and Botanical Gardens in Pittsburgh.
You look at peonies and you say, oh yeah, you know, peonies fall in that non-native category, but they don't fall in the invasive category. They don't escape and cause any kind of harm. They add aesthetic benefit to your yard.
He says this gets to current debates over the terminology used to describe plants. In a paper published this summer, University of Florida scientists contrast invasive plants, those that cause costly environmental problems, with those that are merely non-native, like the peony, which hails from Asia, Europe, and Western North America. Gott says non-native plants sometimes provide ecological benefits if they bloom at times when no native plants are providing nectar and pollen.
Certain non-native Asian species of dogwoods mix in with our native species of dogwoods, and they do have slightly different flowering times. And the beetles that visit them, you see kind of move between dogwoods. So it's kind of extending the time that there's resources available.
But native plant enthusiast Nancy Lawson doesn't trust that non-native species will stay where they're planted.
There are some quote-unquote tame garden plants that were around for a century almost that suddenly started taking over the forest, like lesser celandine.
If you've gone hiking in spring, you've probably seen it. Lesser celandine, also called fig buttercup, blankets the forest floor with bright yellow flowers and a thick matting of leaves. It's now considered invasive because it starts to grow early in spring, shading the forest floor. Native wildflowers, which provide nectar and pollen for insects, can't get the sunlight they need to grow. Yet garden stores still sell lesser celandine and other invasives like Japanese barberry. Lawson, who wrote the book The Humane Gardener, encourages people to look for alternatives. For example, instead of invasive Japanese honeysuckle, she suggests the native coral honeysuckle vine.
Which is a red-flowered, beautiful hummingbird plant, but also the chipmunks eat the berries, the eastern comma butterflies go to the berries as they ripen. Every part of that plant is used. I mean, the more native species you have, the more life you have in your garden and in your habitat.
you know, one yard makes a difference, one patio makes a difference.
At Beechwood Farms, Audubon Sarah Koenig envisions this movement growing.
But then if you begin to have, you know, a neighborhood or a cluster of gardens that are using native plants, all of a sudden you're creating this, it's kind of like a distributed nature reserve. The more of us that plant and garden with natives, the more habitat. We're really kind of transforming the region together, yard by yard.
For the Allegheny Front, I'm Julie Grant.